We're trying this again.
Blessed. Too blessed to stress.
It's true. That's what I always say. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Music Buzz, the podcast where we talk music, pop culture, and current events while we get buzzed. We're your hosts, Lauren Bremley
and Justine Appola.
We have a fun one for you guys today.
It is your favorite good boy, gone bad, gone good again, the Prince of Pop.
The Biebs. We are talking about the evolution of our boy Justin Bieber.
And man, it has been an evolution.
It really has. We've had so many phases, and I think enough phases now where we can actually talk about this evolution. We've now had 8 records from Justin.
And we've been with him for, I mean, since he was 10. I think he's made that YouTube video. I'm not counting the first record. So we've been with him musically for 12 years now.
So when he started posting on YouTube, I'm pretty sure in 2007. So if that's the case, almost 14, between 12 and 14.
Crazy.
That's a long time. We're drinking some rosé today because it's summer. It's like 80 something today in Nashville.
And quite frankly, beer takes up too much space.
It totally does. Like, we get so burpy.
Exactly.
After drinking beer. And you just feel so full. I mean, I love beer, but it's just sometimes it's not the move.
Sometimes you need a bottle of rosé, so you have to have the stomach space.
Well said, my friend. So Justin's journey really started, as we all know, on YouTube. He started posting videos of covers around 2007, 2008. And by posting covers, I mean his mom, Patti Millett, was posting covers. That's when I first heard him. When did you first like hear about the Biebs? Was it YouTube days or was it later?
It was later when One Less Lonely Girl was released.
Okay.
And everyone kept talking about this kid. And then I retroactively went and watched the YouTube clips. But I did not know him before.
So I don't know how I stumbled upon him, but those were like the days when you were just poking around on YouTube, like trying to find videos. Like, that's what you did with your spare time.
So, okay, I guess I have questions for you since you discovered him that way. Did that pop up in your search, or was it like a trending video? You know how the viral videos? And I know it had like a million views and stuff like that, but was it fed to you in an algorithm?
Yes, but not through like the top videos necessarily. It was like I looked for a cover of a certain song because I wanted to hear people covering this song. And then it would show you on the side, well, like, watch this person covering this song. And like through a wormhole of like 20 videos, I ended up on Justin Bieber singing With You by Chris Brown. And I was like, this kid is good. And so I just like watched several of his other videos and just like had him on my radar. But he wasn't. Nothing, I don't think, had really happened yet.
So you did not pull a Scooter Braun and sign him on the spot and bring him to Atlanta?
No. And truly, I regret that every day. Granted, I was also basically a child, but you know what? I should have done it. So he was posting these videos, and Scooter Braun, which, just to preface this, last night I watched the Justin Bieber Never Say Never documentary, which is on Netflix, by the way. I think it was Netflix. Just to like refresh my memory, because I had seen it a long time ago and I just kind of forgot. And it was honestly hilarious to watch.
I mean, it's nuts because I've never seen crowds of that mass for someone like that.
Yeah.
Which I guess was the most shocking part to me. Sorry,
I guess
to interrupt
we shouldn't.
You.
No, you're fine. I guess we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. I probably like said that too soon, but I brought that up to say in the documentary, Patty, Justin's mom, was talking about how the whole thing went down with Scooter, which I kind of had forgotten, like the specifics of it.
Well, and I feel like it's a testament to his determination, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so the story goes, and Lauren, you watched this probably more recently than I did. But he saw this video. He was going out on the town in Atlanta. I think he was not working for Jermaine Dupri anymore, but was friends with Usher. And he someone suggested this video that he watched this kid. He didn't know how to contact them, so he zoomed in on the school, right? That was next to it, and contacted them. And then, like, I guess, which led to another contact, and then finally he got on the phone with Patty.
Yeah, and he had contacted, like you said, the school, Justin's aunt and uncle, or no, Justin's grandparents, I think. And so they all were telling Patty, like, this dude's trying to get in contact with Justin. And Patty was, like, already thinking in her mind, like, when this guy gets on the phone with me, I'm going to shut him down so quick. Like, this is so weird. And she was like, in my mind, I knew he was going to call me. And when that phone call happened, I was going to shut him down. And she was like, he ended up on the phone with me and we talked for an hour and a half. And she said he was just, like, determined. Like, he would not take no for an answer. And he just believed in Justin so much that he was like, I want to work with you. I'll fly you guys out here to LA on my dime, basically. And
to Atlanta.
Or to Atlanta first. Was like, I'll fly you out here on my dime. If it works, which it is going to, Justin's going to be a star. If it doesn't, worst case, you have a free vacation. And she's like a single mom at this point because Justin's parents had divorced. And so she's like, okay, I guess we'll see what happens. So he went to Atlanta, and also in the documentary, Scooter is telling the story about when he was going to meet Jermaine Dupri. He was bringing Justin to meet Jermaine, and Usher got out of a car on their way to go see Jermaine. They had no plans on running into Usher. And so Scooter had told Justin, do not try to sing to Jermaine Dupri. And so when they saw Usher, Justin like ran up to him and asked him to sing for him. And Scooter was pissed. He's like, dude, I told you not to try to sing for anybody. And Justin goes, you didn't tell me not to sing for Usher. You told me not to sing for Jermaine Dupri, which is like such a little like shithead thing to do, which is totally his personality. So it makes sense.
It's on brand.
Which is on brand. But apparently Usher blew him off, which I find kind of funny.
Right. Well, and I find it funny, which we can talk about later, because of the full circle moment where Usher went to Scooter for management.
Right. And also, it's like a little kid is coming up to you to sing. Just be like, yeah, buddy, like, sure.
Right. But so, this is Usher in peak Usher career.
Yeah.
In Atlanta.
Totally. Yeah. And I forget how Usher ended up coming back around to hearing Justin and like wanting to work with him, but I guess he just ended up hearing his voice somehow and was like, wait, I want to work with this kid.
Yeah.
Apparently Usher and Justin Timberlake were both kind of fighting over Justin.
I didn't know the Justin Timberlake part.
Yeah. And I don't know how like he got looped in the mix there, but they ended up, according to like something I was reading, they ended up like part of the concern with working with Justin Timberlake is that they were both Justins and they thought that would be confusing. Which is the silliest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, but so we'll get into this as well, but Scooter had a super tight grip on Justin's image. So that sounds right, because I think at one point, and I'm jumping around, but they were like keeping the fact that Justin had a girlfriend from the public, because that was part of his brand. And the brand was Justin was the cute single boy that every girl could imagine themselves with.
Which was exactly like Justin Timberlake.
Exactly.
In his day.
So
yeah.
It's like competing brands.
Yeah. But it makes sense. Like during that period, I think Justin Timberlake's vibe was very similar. It was very R&B. It was very similar to, I think, what Justin Bieber was doing. So it did kind of make sense. But obviously, I think Justin Bieber was such a big fan of Usher that like there was no way that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
You know? So long story short, he ends up being signed by Scooter and Usher's media group, and then inevitably signed to Island Def Jam with L.A. Reid, and he releases his first single, One Time, in 2008, which One Time was a bop among bops. Like, I remember being like, I know I'm too old to be listening to this and enjoying it, but I am. You know what I mean?
Well, and I feel like that was the whole thing. If you were a little older and you were listening to Bieber, you were like, this is so dumb. Like, why am I listening to this? But then it was so catchy that you couldn't not listen to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was the same way. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a trend of this like kid. Like, no chance. And then I was like, oh, this is actually like great.
Yeah, like you listen to the songs and you're like, okay, obviously this is a bop. I can't help it. It's literally me listening to Olivia Rodrigo now. Oh. It's like, I know I'm too old to be enjoying this the way that I am, but I am.
Even like his voice at the time, which I think is part of the evolution. Yeah. He sounds like a little kid.
Like, I mean, a little girl.
Does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He sounds like a little kid. And then you listen to it now and you're like, puberty hit. Like,
oh yeah.
That's deep.
Which is interesting because that kind of started happening. So the next year after One Time comes out, Justin releases My World. Not before My World 2.0, just My World, which was, I guess, kind of an EP or like half an album, because he just wanted to get songs out there and they just wanted to get his name out, get the songs out, and get people talking about him, which clearly worked because some of those songs were One Time, One Less Lonely Girl, Love Me, Favorite Girl. So like at this point, he already was like making waves as like this super talented little kid who's like dancing and singing and writing songs.
But he also had the legitimacy of having Usher on one of the tracks, which, yeah, and it still happens today, but I remember back in my time, you would have like a feature on a track if it was a newer artist, because you were like, oh, like, for example, a Jay-Z would feature Rihanna on a track to introduce the world to Rihanna. Yeah, so it was, yeah, like the same concept that like kind of legitimizes this new artist. And we should talk about the cover as well, which is like this kid with a side swoop in, oh, like, yeah, with palm trees in the background. It looks like, so
palm trees, are there?
Yeah. It's like a beach kind of like looking thing. I don't know. It's like a skater palm tree thing. Aren't those palm trees?
Oh yeah.
And like, yeah.
Also, like, this was created in like Microsoft Paint.
Yeah, yeah. I could create that, and I am that says a lot.
Yeah, but he has like the swoopy hair, like skateboarder, the California look, which is also hilarious because we should mention he's from Toronto, Canada. Right. He's not even American, but
he does skateboard.
Totally, of course. Like all the Canadian sports, all up in those. But also, fun fact, when I was doing some research, guess who co-wrote Love Me? Bruno Mars.
What?
Isn't that random? That was like before Bruno was really like popping as an artist.
But it's kind of crazy because like, I bet that is part of the reason why Justin's songs are so good. It's because of that Atlanta connection. So like all of those amazing R&B writers, like producers, even track guys were in Atlanta at the time.
Yeah.
So there's no way Justin's song, like he wasn't in the cookie cutter machine if he were like, as if he would be if he were coming out of LA.
Yeah, for sure. He's like with the guys whose job, like especially in R&B and like hip hop writing, it's like you start with a track. So you start with like the thing that catches your ear, which is why all those songs are like so catchy. You can't help but like bop to them. So then in 2010, a year later, they release Baby as a single. And that's the one that features Ludacris. Which is a big deal for, like, baby Justin. Even though he was already kind of, like, a superstar at this point. Like, to have Ludacris on your freaking song is a big deal. Which, also, want to know a fun fact about who co-wrote Baby?
Yes.
Christina Milian.
That's so
remember
nuts.
That song? Tip it low, bring it up slow. Christina, yeah, Milian. How random is that?
So, Usher, I guess this is the part where I get confused, because Usher and Ludacris, were they on the same label at the time? Because like Scooter and Jermaine and Usher ran in the same crowd, because Scooter had worked for Jermaine's company doing like marketing and promo stuff, because he got his start at Emory, which is why he was down in Atlanta.
Interesting.
Yeah. His
Emory, like the
Emory University.
Yeah.
And then that was his whole story. Like, he dropped out of school because he didn't have, his dad wouldn't give him spending money. So his first like marketing promo gig was at these bars. He was like, okay, if I can pack this bar out, will you guys like pay me? And they were like, sure. Like, this freshman kid, how are you going to pack the bars out? And he was like, so I thought, okay, how am I going to get a bunch of dudes in this bar to buy drinks? First, you have to get all the girls. So he would do all of these flyers and everything and like do drink specials for the girls to get the girls in. Then all the dudes followed. And that's like kind of how he started promoting.
Yeah, which is so interesting because that's, for all intents and purposes, what he's still doing, just on like a much huger scale, really, when you think about it, is like, instead of like selling the bar, you're selling the artist, but you're trying to get all these people in with the artist.
Yeah.
You're like, how can I bring these people in?
It's the same,
same vibe.
Same concept.
So other singles from My World 2.0, basically they didn't want to put out, they didn't want to wait any longer to like put out a full album. So they put out My World 2.0 and added in the songs from the first release of My World and then basically released the rest of the record in 2010 with like Never Let You Go, You Smile, Eeny Meeny with Sean Kingston.
And I was going to say, this is at the time too when Sean Kingston is massive. So,
which also, what happened to Sean Kingston?
I have no idea. Like,
Beautiful Girls used to slap.
I know. No way. And the videos.
Oh, girl. So good.
So good. But like, it is really, really intelligent how they did it. Again, you get like big artists that were blowing up at this time to just do a feature on one of the Justin tracks.
Yeah. And also, it's funny now that like that song is like having a renaissance right now because of TikTok.
Right.
Because of that one like high school locker room video that came out where like all the kids are like screaming and jumping and like celebrating singing this song.
So,
which I love.
The two singles off of this, right? Were, no, there were more than two.
There were more, yeah.
But the big ones were Baby and Somebody to Love.
With Usher.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So also during this time, also I just wanted to mention too, Justin was working at this point with like huge writers that were writing these amazing songs. But Justin has always, like since he was a kid, been a songwriter as well. And I remember seeing, which they also played a clip of this in the Never Say Never documentary, Eddie Zadek is basically similar to the Bluebird Cafe in Atlanta. Not quite the same because it's not the In the Round style, but it's the same level of like such an honor to play there. It's a listening room. Everyone, like so many artists get their start there, as we've talked about, like John Mayer, like all these songwriters got their start there. And he played there when he was like super, super young, I think on one of his first trips to Atlanta, and like played this song he wrote called Common Denominator, which like as a kid, it was just like the cutest thing ever. It was like so sweet. And I remember being like, this kid can actually write a song. Like, this is actually a good song. You know, like he sounds like he's seven, but like it's well written. So he was still like, I don't think he was necessarily writing all of his songs at this point, but he was writing some. Like he did co-write You Smile, I know, and a couple others. But
and this is jumping ahead a little bit because this was in the YouTube documentary, but they were saying, and this is kind of part of the evolution, like the song picking, Scooter was heavily, heavily involved in the beginning. And now, as he's a superstar status, he lets Justin essentially do whatever he wants. Even if it is going through 100 songs at a time, Scooter just sends him in there and is like, okay, show me what
you got. I trust
your
vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you come out.
So also, his voice was definitely deeper on my World 2.0. Like it kind of started...
But was that the editing or was that...
No, like, that was puberty.
Oh, okay.
Like that was happening at that time. Because he was, let's see, if he was born in 1994, he was like 15 probably when he was recording. So it was like the time when he was growing up. He was growing up. So also during this time, April of 2010, he was the musical guest on SNL.
I didn't know that.
Which is crazy. And he started the My World Tour, which is what was shown in the Never Say Never documentary. And I will say watching it was very interesting because it was interesting to see how other people treated him at that point before he had had all of his slip-ups, when he was really at like the first height of like his popularity, even though he was so young, the way that people treated him as though he was so mature and so like put together and could take care of things on his own as a 15, 16-year-old was really weird, especially knowing like we just remember how he's like treated now And it's weird to look back to be like, oh, if you had continued on that path without messing up, like, people would treat you so differently.
Yeah. I mean, but it was, again, I think it goes back to like that earlier point that Scooter and his team were very, very strategic about combing an image and putting forth a certain image. Like, I think it was in the documentary as well, but Allison Kay, who is his VP, was talking about how when Scooter would leave set, Justin was a little terror.
Like, oh, yeah.
Just throwing stuff everywhere, like in catering and all that stuff. And then Scooter would show up and he would be on his best behavior. And like, you really didn't see a lot of that as a kid. You saw him goofing off and stuff, but you never, I mean, at least that I can remember, like, I never saw him acting out. It was when he was like racing Ferraris later on that you were like, oh, he actually is like a real kid.
Totally. And he always had that like playful, like pranky personality. But I think, so on that tour, his mom definitely was with him, but she had him when she was a teenager. They had like a very friendly kind of relationship. I don't think that she was necessarily the authority figure. I don't really think she was like a super big authority figure, but who was so Mama Jan is a very well-known vocal coach in Atlanta. She's literally coached everybody, including Usher, Justin Bieber, Tori Kelly, like all these huge artists, and now artists not in Atlanta, but started out in Atlanta. And she was really close with Scooter. So Scooter brought her on tour to like be his vocal coach on the road. And in Never Say Never documentary, half the documentary, she is the only one like scolding him and telling him no. And like, it was really interesting to see because there was one point where his voice was just not in good shape. And she was like, we have to cancel this next show that's coming up, which I feel like, again, we've talked about how this is always an issue in every music documentary we see, but it's a common issue. And she was like, I know that you don't want to disappoint people and you think it's fun to do these shows, but if you don't cancel this one show now, you're going to be canceling 6 or 7 shows later. And if you don't want to disappoint one show full of people, do you want to disappoint 7 shows worth of people? And he was just like, no. Like, he was being a little like punk about it, but she was like, I have to tell you, everyone else is letting you make your own decisions. Like, Scooter's like, yeah, you can choose what you want to do. And Mama Jan is like, no, I'm telling you, we're not doing it. And she was like basically his mother figure,
which is interesting. I mean, and I think that that comes to play later on in life
for sure,
obviously.
Yes.
But I don't know when it happened, because Scooter doesn't necessarily address this, but I think Scooter has like power of attorney for Justin. So like, he makes literally all of his decisions. I think that that's what it's called, right? When you,
that sounds right. Yeah.
So like, essentially Justin trusts him implicitly. Yeah. And it's like apparent, I guess at this point it's different because Justin's past the age of 18. But I know that Scooter had it at one point, because I think it was in one of the documentaries.
Which makes sense. Like, I think, love or hate Scooter, like, Scooter literally created everything that Justin is and, like, genuinely cared about him, or at least seemed to care about him from what we know. And, like, clearly everything he was doing was working. So it's like, why not keep this person in control of like all the details, you know?
Well, and he took the financial risk, like in terms of moving his mom and himself down there.
Which he said he did on his dime as well.
He did. Like, he got them an apartment right next to his apartment, which he also has said that he still owns those two apartments.
Oh, interesting.
It's like a nostalgia thing, but he literally gave them like a stipend for food.
Oh, wow.
And like move them in for the year. So I think in addition to being like a figure for him, it's also like, okay, I'm going to take care of stuff.
Yeah.
On the financial front, you know?
Yeah. And because in the documentary, they were talking about how he was flying Justin and Patty back and forth to LA trying to meet with labels and stuff. And people kept saying no until the Island Def Jam thing worked out. And then finally, once they got a yes, he had to move them, because like, I don't know if that, like, the label wanted to like dive fully in or what the situation was there. But
well, and Scooter also talks about Def Jam giving him his first deal, because everyone that passed on Justin said that this was like a one hit wonder fluke and it was just a viral moment on the internet. And Scooter kept saying, it's not, like, I see all the numbers on the back end. Like, he's going to be global. He is a superstar, et cetera, et cetera. And they, no one would give him a chance. And then Def Jam did. And I think he did like a massive deal with them because it worked out.
Well, and Scooter said too, he said a lot of the labels, if it was their choice, they wouldn't have come out with Justin until he was 18. So I think a lot of them mostly said no, because they were like, we can hang on to this until he's 18. And Scooter was like, no, he needs to move now. Like, the trajectory is like going, like the momentum is moving now.
But it's also easier, right, to work with an 18-year-old than it is to work with,
of course, a
12-year-old.
A kid, yeah.
Yeah, because you also have parents heavily involved and they can't sign off on anything.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that you can't do as an underage person. Like there's a lot of travel rules and there's all kinds of stuff that, like, there's a lot of venues you can't play in, you know?
Right.
So after that, they released My World Acoustic. Like, they just pretty much were, like, cranking out content. Like, does anyone care about My World Acoustic? Absolutely not. But I do think on that they did release like his like Common Denominator, the song he wrote, like some cute little tunes like that. And so a few months after the acoustic album dropped is when the Never Say Never documentary came out, which ended up being huge. Like,
I feel like, again, that was another massive, this is why Scooter's so good. I'm a stan sometimes. But in terms of content, I mean, mm-hmm. that was a big documentary. I know we had music documentaries at that time, but I remember seeing all of the behind the scenes, especially on some of those shows. And it was, what country was it that they had to like shut down?
Yeah, I can't remember. I think that's what I was just talking about when he said they had like cancel. Is that what you mean?
No, the country was calling to shut down because they couldn't control the crowd. And it was like Justin on a boat.
Oh, that wasn't in Never Say Never.
I'm thinking of a very specific show. I don't know which one it was, but like, that's when I was like, oh wow.
Maybe that was, there was another like Believe documentary. I couldn't find it anywhere though. Maybe it was on that, but like, I'm pretty sure the Never Say Never one was released in theaters. They were talking about how, prior to that, the Hannah Montana, like Miley Cyrus had some sort of like documentary that was like about Hannah Montana or something, like the Hannah Montana concert or whatever. And obviously that was huge. And it said that like Justin Bieber's records like broke those, which apparently was a big deal. So after the Never Say Never documentary and all the My World releases, Bieber was already a huge star. And we kind of entered a new era when he started working on his next record in 2011 and then released Boyfriend as a single in early 2012. Do you remember hearing this for the first time? Do you remember what you thought about it?
I do. I remember thinking it was a bop yet again from Biebs. And I remember being angry like with myself because I was like, oh, I don't want to like this, but it's so catchy. I love it.
Yeah. He sounded a little more grown up. And suddenly we were like, who is this boy?
He also changed his image a little bit and started styling his hair like upwards. And it had like the fade on the side. It was very like boy band vibes.
Totally. And I just feel like we need to mention the iconic line, chilling by the fire while we eating fondue.
Classic.
Just the lyricism was impeccable.
But this album was really, really massive again. And he did what Bieber always does and has like collaborators left and right. I mean, he had Drake, he had Nicki Minaj, and I feel like it just followed the models of his previous records.
Yeah, 100%. So he had As Long As You Love Me with Big Sean, which was a huge song. Like you were saying, the Beauty and a Beat with Nicki Minaj, which was a like huge video.
It was. He was at a water park and they shut it down. And part of the filming for that video was Justin filming himself, I think, with a GoPro. And it was his idea. So they let him just take it and run with it.
I love that. It's like, then you feel like you're like at a party with the Biebs, you know?
100%. 100%. It was, again, great content.
Love that. So The album Believe was released in June of 2012, a summertime bop. And so with this album, he kind of started to incorporate more R&B sounds. And mm-hmm. I think obviously he started out working with Usher, so that always was part of an element. But working with artists like Big Sean and Nicki Minaj and like Drake, like you were saying, I feel like solidified him a little more into like the hip hop R&B like categories that like merge with the pop a little more on this one.
100%. And you had mentioned it too. His sound was changing a little bit, so it didn't sound as young and like prepubescent as his other records did.
Yeah.
This was kind of like him growing up a little bit, at least for me, listening to it.
Yeah.
So in addition to this being a massive record for Bieber, this was also a big snub for him in terms of Grammy nominations. I think everyone expected him to get nominated in the pop category, at least for something, and he wasn't nominated at all. And I remember at that time, Scooter Braun releasing a statement as well saying, you know, the Recording Academy has made a massive mistake. I had to make a phone call I didn't want to make. And this was a wildly successful commercial record that should have gotten this recognition.
Yeah, some of these songs were huge, which is really surprising that they didn't get nominated, at least for something, even in the pop category or whatever.
100%. And I think it broke a couple of streaming records, if I remember correctly, at the time.
So then he started the Believe tour in 2012, and they did another documentary called Believe. I think I mentioned this, but I tried to find it to watch it, and I couldn't find it streaming anywhere. You had to pay like $6, and I'm dedicated to the pod, but I'm not that dedicated. So then he actually goes back on SNL during this period as the host and the musical guest. And pretty much several of the cast members came out and said that they were not pleased with his appearance and that, like, not his physical appearance, but his appearance on the show as a host, and kind of said that he was not ready to be a host and that they didn't really enjoy having him on set. He kind of rolled up with this huge crew and they were demanding and not that nice and blah, blah, blah. And Kate McKinnon and Bill Hader both made statements, and Bill Hader specifically kind of compared him to Justin Timberlake. And he was like, Justin Timberlake is a professional. He comes on set and he's like fun. He's like schmoozing with everyone. He's like serious about, you know, getting these sketches right and like having a good time. It was just like a very different thing. And granted, Justin Timberlake is so much older than Justin Bieber was at this point, but it was just a different personality, I think, where they were like, he thinks he's too big for his britches, whereas Justin Timberlake, who is much bigger than him, is being more professional and cool.
Right. And I think this was the first time, too, in the media that we were starting to get hints that Bieber wasn't necessarily the saint that he had been painted out to be, at least for his image or by the media previously, because he still, I think at this point, didn't necessarily have a bunch of tattoos, still kind of the clean boy band, you know, want to bring him home to meet mom and dad kind of image. And that's what they were portraying. But I think on the inside, a whole different story was happening as he was growing up as well.
Yeah, for sure. This was a big transition period for him. So leading up to the Believe documentary that I mentioned before, that was towards the end of this era, which makes sense because I'm assuming they filmed that on the Believe tour. And so to hype up this documentary release, they started releasing a new song a week leading up to the release of that. And that ended up being the first half of Journals. So from those releases, we got All That Matters, we got Confident, which are some of my favorite songs of his period.
And one features Chance the Rapper, Confident.
Yeah, who, I mean,
we love Chance.
I could not be more obsessed with him if I tried. And so then Journals came out in 2013. And with this album, the label didn't support this project. At this point, Island Def Jam was going under. Is that the right phrase? Or it was like at the end of its days.
Right. Was that under EMI? Am I getting the majors like confused? It was under Because Island Def Jam was under Universal, right? I think it's on Universal. And they split?
Yeah.
So now it's just Def Jam.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that was like kind of happening. This was like towards the end of that. And the label did not support this album for him. Probably because they were like, we have limited resources at this point. This is not up to par. But Justin wanted to release it anyway. But because the label didn't support this record, it wasn't pushed to SoundScan. So it didn't chart on Billboard. Which is
but
a
what
big...
does that mean? They didn't push to SoundScan, because even if you sell right copies, those are technically SoundScan, like,
yeah,
those
like,
count.
But if you're not submitting your stuff, you can just sell it without. So that's I think why like this album flopped and like no one really heard about it. And granted, this was definitely streaming days, so people like found it. It was accessible, but like. It just really didn't do much, which is honestly, I think, a disservice, because even though there are literally 16 songs on this and probably 8 are great, but like it's a fan favorite with like Justin stans, with the Beliebers. It's like an underground favorite.
I was about to say it's like one of those secret records.
Yeah.
Even
and
though
so
it was released commercially.
Right. But I feel like it's kind of like what Battle Studies is to John Mayer. Like, Battle Studies didn't really do much.
They were,
but it's like a fan favorite of a lot of people. Like, it's right. It's not the biggest one.
It's no Continuum.
Exactly. It's no Purpose, but it's a great one that people love. So this is when Justin started working with Pooh Bear, who we now know from the season's YouTube series. He is a producer and a songwriter, huge in R&B, has written a jillion hits. So Scooter said in Seasons that he didn't want Justin to tour this album. He wanted him to get healthy, which I think is code for this is the period when he kind of started to go downhill mentally and like his behavior was not so good, which makes sense because the next year is when everything went down.
Yeah, all hell broke loose. And like it's kind of like you were saying, kind of got references to it in the media in terms of like SNL hosting and stuff like that. You can be like, oh, this guy's a little cocky, like whatever, but nothing major. And then he just went like, I feel like full on just being obstinate, like teenage boy, I'm gonna like mess stuff up.
Yeah. So in January of 2014, he got in trouble twice within like 2 weeks. The first one was the egg throwing incident, which I think we all know. But if you don't, he was like throwing eggs at a house in Calabasas.
It was like neighbors.
I don't know if he knew these people, if it was just funny.
So I have questions. I always have questions. Calabasas is known for giant homes with giant lawns.
And what like kind security, yeah, like fences and all kinds of stuff.
What kind of arm do you have that you are throwing these eggs? Like, did they make it to the house?
Totally. Like, do we need to be talking about his athletic abilities right now?
Right. Was he a pitcher in a former life?
Because, honestly, it's like we should be impressed.
Right. Maybe he meant like they egged the wall. Like, I don't know the details, but I'm being serious. Like,
yeah.
The house is egged, but it's like, what, you got some eggs on your front lawn? Because,
yeah,
like did it really reach the house?
What are the logistics? Maybe if it was someone he knew, he was let in by like the front, you know, gate or whatever. But it said that the reason that he got arrested for that is because they did like tens of thousands of dollars in damage to the house, which I didn't realize eggs could do that much damage.
It actually can.
Give me the tea. Have you like gotten in trouble for this before? Or?
Well, in high school, everyone used to egg each other's houses, but you would like tell people, because apparently if you and I don't know how true this is, but if you leave egg on stuff with paint, like on cars, it can take the paint off. So it can actually do damage.
So after the egg incident, the egg of it all, literally like a week or two later, he gets arrested in Miami Beach for drunk driving, driving with an expired license, and resisting arrest. And he told police that he had been drinking, smoking weed, and doing Xanax. Which is just, bruh, what are we doing?
Not great. I think this was the same instance too where he was racing. He was actually racing cars in the streets in Miami as
well.
That
sounds on brand, yeah.
Yeah. while he was under the influence of all of those things. So that's also not great.
Right.
But I distinctly remember, I guess, like Ferraris or some wildly expensive car, and then Justin Bieber being arrested outside of that.
I mean, also to like just get in trouble for something a week or two before, you think you would maybe not be drinking, smoking, and doing Xanax and driving?
I think this was, again, his phase of not caring, and he was a teenage boy saying, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Which also included in the back, I think the back of a restaurant, I don't know where, he was peeing in a bucket and flicking off the President Clinton.
Yeah, saying F Bill Clinton. So that was in 2013. So that was the year before this too. Like, he was already kind of like on this path of destruction.
Right. And there was a camera on him, it seems like, at all times.
Yeah. So then in June of 2014, a video came out of him at 15 years old telling a joke about black people, using the N-word, joking about the KKK. And I'm assuming if he was 15, like, it probably was a couple years prior to this. And so obviously, like, I feel like this was kind of before, quote unquote, what we call cancel culture now, but he mm-hmm. got in major hot water due to this. But it's crazy where, like, if this happened now or that came out now, that's something that we don't even talk about with Justin Bieber anymore. Like, I forgot that even happened.
Right.
Whereas now, I just don't think that would be the case.
Right. And I'm honestly, like, I'm shocked that that hasn't been brought up again recently. I would assume his team was nervous that that would be the case.
Yeah.
Because it seems like everyone is digging into, whether you're a CEO or a public figure, your history mm-hmm. to see kind of where your stance has been. And even, like, I mean, it happened to Kevin Hart with old tweets. And
yeah.
we've seen what's happened to Morgan Wallen. I just don't see it going down. And I think Justin Bieber, quote unquote, got off pretty lucky.
Yeah. And maybe it's because there's been so many other controversies that, like, that one just slips under the radar.
Right.
I don't know. It's like he's hiding in plain sight almost. Like,
exactly.
We already know that you're a troublemaker, but I just thought that was interesting. Also, the fact that it wasn't released until 2014 and it had been a couple years since that happened, that means someone had been hanging on to that video, kind of waiting for the downfall of Justin to release that.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting. And then in September of 2014, he's arrested again and charged with assault and dangerous driving in Ontario, which he blamed on the paparazzi, like, it was kind of like a Princess Diana vibes, where he was like, they were putting me in a dangerous position, chasing me, kind of thing. But also, when you're coming off a string of all this trouble, people are like, yeah, okay, I'm sure it's the paparazzi, bro.
Right, right, right. So it just added to the list of everything he was getting in trouble for.
Right. You know what I just remembered too? I don't know which incident this was for, but when Justin Bieber was in court for one of his, or he was like in a deposition or something for one of these, I'm assuming the egg throwing incident. And the lady is like asking him questions, and every single question, he's just smiling and going, I don't recall. I don't recall. I don't recall, to everything. And that became like a GIF that everyone was using. Like, when someone asks you something you don't want to answer, you're just like, I don't recall.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh my God. It's so funny. I'll have to find it.
I missed that. Yeah. He's had some pretty viral moments starting from the beginning of his career.
Oh yeah, for sure. So this leads us into the Purpose era. And I just, you know, things are darkest before the dawn. And things were dark in 2014, and we had dawn with Purpose, because this album is iconic. One of my favorites. One of my favorite albums of all time, really.
Same. It is a fire album. And I feel like he really embraced himself as like an artist, and he kind of squashed the squeaky clean image. Like, now yeah. he's getting fully tatted. His hair is like a mess, and he's dyeing it like bleach blonde and doing whatever he wants. It's not like stylized like it was before.
Yeah, he doesn't have the like pretty boy image anymore.
Exactly.
So in February of 2015, Where Are You Now was released with Jack U, which is the production duo of Skrillex and Diplo.
And so we would be remiss if I didn't bring up Scooter's Plan, but he the story goes, gathered his team in a room and was like, okay, I'm going to bring Justin back. What do you think? And an intern was like, oh, we should do a roast for everything that he's done. And then he said, okay, great. We'll do a roast. And also, I guess Justin had given him this vocal. And so Scooter took it to Diplo and Skrillex and were like, and was like, here, see what you can do. They came back with this. And then he was like, great, we're going to put this out. So it was very strategic in terms of, we're going to do this roast, then we're going to put this song out. And he essentially told Justin that. It wasn't like, hey, what are you feeling? He was like, okay, if you want to come back, we have everything ready to go. So here we go.
Love. And clearly it was genius because it worked very well.
And that song was massive.
Huge. Yeah. And massive. I remember when it first came out too, I don't think it was very clear that that was going to be a part of Justin's upcoming release. I think to like the public eye, we just saw it as like a Jack U song,
right?
Which at the time I was like, what is Jack U? I thought it was like a new DJ or something. But I remember just being like, this is such a bop. And it's obviously like heavily electronic, sick beat. Like, as Taylor Swift would say, this sick beat. It's so good. The album was released in November of 2015. So leading up to that, we got releases of What Do You Mean? And Sorry and Love Yourself. And then obviously we had Where Are You Now? So obviously like this, even leading up to the release of the album, I already was like, I know I'm going to love this.
100%. It was a brand new, not brand new, but it was a different sound for him. And it was great. It was just bangers left and right. And he had like the accompanying visuals as well, because Scooter and Justin are so good at content to go along with everything. I think for every song that they released, there was a visual component of like Justin exploring these picturesque places. I distinctly remember on one of the songs, I think it was maybe What Do You Mean? He was in Iceland and they had to close down the canyon where they filmed this because of the video where so many tourists going to that spot so that they couldn't preserve it.
That's the power of the Biebs. Everyone wants to be where he is.
Insane.
Yeah, all of those singles were so huge, like huge on radio, huge like socially, like everyone was obsessed with them. Can you imagine if those songs were out in the age of TikTok?
I mean, it would be nuts.
And the content would be fire.
And the Sorry video. So he worked with choreographer Paris Goebel, I don't know if I'm saying her name correctly, on I think all of the moves for the visuals in which you see him dancing to like choreograph that. And Sorry was one of them because it's like this iconic dance and she's actually featured in it.
Oh, cool.
She has like a shaved head and she's like very prominently centered in the video, but it's just cool. It's like unique visual pieces.
Yeah, all the videos were really cool. I remember enjoying watching that, similar to like we've talked about in a previous episode where we did a deep dive of Lemonade. Like, it's similar to that where there's like basically a music video for each of the songs that kind of like tell a story. And it was cool to see those visuals because I think for a little while leading up to Purpose, we didn't have a lot of content from Justin for a minute there. So it was like nice to have not only a new album, but like all these videos to go along with it.
Right.
So Love Yourself. Justin Bieber was the first male artist in almost a decade to have 3 number ones from an album, the third one being Love Yourself, since Justin Timberlake last did it with Future Sex Love Sounds in 2006.
Full circle moment.
Full circle moment. Speaking of the Justins. And this album was like widely loved. Like his songs did super well. The album debuted at number one and was his 6th album to debut at the top. And similar to how we were saying earlier, like Pooh Bear was involved in this record. He also co-wrote with Diplo, Julia Michaels, Justin Tranter, Ed Sheeran, Halsey, Scooter. Scooter was a co-writer on this album, on one of the songs.
Which, I don't know how I feel about that.
I know. I like did not know that until I was looking through the co-writers and I was like, excuse me?
Right.
But definitely like Julia Michaels and Justin Tranter are like the best songwriting duo, and they were writing songs for both Justin and Selena, which was interesting because in Justin's personal life, like throughout this time, the previous several years, he had been on and off dating Selena Gomez. So it was kind of interesting that they were writing songs for both of those artists. which were all bops, obviously. And then he started this tour. Oh, no, sorry. So this album was nominated for Album of the Year, Best Pop Vocal Album. Love Yourself was nominated for Song of the Year and Best Pop Solo Performance at the Grammys that year.
And I think this was his first Grammy performance because he was nominated. But I actually got to attend, and he started on the B stage acoustic and then unplugged and went to the main stage and did like a pop performance.
So going back to Selena, Justin specifically said, I think in an interview with Ellen DeGeneres, that Sorry, Mark My Words, and What Do You Mean were specifically about Selena. So he kind of pulled a Taylor, being like, this is who these are about, which people probably assumed, but.
And this is when he was like dating around. Like he was on and off with Selena, but then he would be pictured with, is this when he was dating Lionel Richie's?
Sophia Richie, yeah.
Daughter,
and he
right?
also was like hanging out with Hailey Bieber, Hailey Baldwin at this point too.
Right. It was like he was going through the slew, and that was like, it was always a tabloid thing, like who's Bieber dating this week?
Yeah. And I think like during this time, everyone just in the public eye, like people were concerned about the well-being of both Selena and Justin. They were like together and then breaking up and together and then breaking up. It was like widely discussed that possibly both of them had drug addiction issues and a lot of problems. And like they were seen, they were photographed like leaving this sketchy place holding like a baggie that looked like it was full of drugs. Like there were just a lot of things going on that like never necessarily were confirmed at that point, but people kind of assumed.
Right. And I think publicly at this time, Bieber wasn't getting along with his mom, which was a kind of a big deal because they had to, I mean, she was always there. And I think she was always like a voice for him to be like the just part of his image and nurturing in that sense. But he wasn't getting along with her. And that was a big thing because fans were like, where's Patty? Where's she at?
Yeah.
She was in Hawaii chilling.
It was. Going back to the Never Say Never documentary for one second, it was very Taylor Swift vibes where the fans knew before Scooter was anybody, like before they should have even known who he was, they would recognize Patty, they would recognize Justin's, basically anybody on his team, including Scooter, including like his dad who was there like once in a blue moon, they would like recognize them and fangirl over them the same way that the Swifties do with her mom and with like Abigail and with like anybody who's like associated, because that's how huge those artists are, that like Justin was on that same level of they knew who his friends were, everything.
Right.
So he started the Purpose Tour in 2016, and the second half of the tour was canceled due to unforeseen circumstances, which I think, as I was saying, like people were concerned about maybe a drug issue, maybe mental health issues going on. And they actually started talking about that in the Seasons documentary on YouTube, which we can get to. But inevitably, it was because of drugs and it was because of mental health issues. And he was trying to like come to terms with a lot of depression and anxiety, which many people struggle with. But it was like never communicated. I think they didn't know what to do or how to handle it. And I think at this point, too, in his shows, he was starting to like freak out on stage and like scream at the audience for not listening or interrupting him or confusing him by singing another song when he was starting a different song, and just doing things that like as a professional performer you just can't do.
Right.
And so people stopped buying tickets to his shows too at this point. Like I don't think his shows were selling that well because people knew he was having these blow-ups or that he was gonna like be sick the day of or just not be at his full.
And they ended up canceling this tour
too. The second half. Yeah
it was like Justin has to get healthy, etc. So it was, I think it was like a whole culmination. Yes, he had to get healthy, but also like the sales weren't great, so yeah, of course they had to like cancel it and move on.
So they canceled this tour. I think Justin was kind of quiet for a minute. I just wrote down this note because I thought this was an interesting fun fact, but in 2017, the Chinese government banned him from performing in China because he was so controversial.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Especially for China.
I know. I mean, it's on par.
Exactly.
Any like subtle thing, they're like, we would not like the drama. Thank you.
Right.
But so his next like thing that really came out was pretty big. This little song called Despacito. Maybe you've heard of it.
But Scooter's so smart, because he keeps him in the light and relevant even when he's not out there. And it's songs like that. And do you know the background of this song?
We've talked about it on an episode. You told me. I didn't know until you told me.
He was vacationing somewhere in the islands, maybe even in Puerto Rico. And he went to a club and this song was just on repeat everywhere he went. Went back to LA and was like, Scooter, like, I have to be on this song. It's everywhere. Like, chicks go wild for it.
Yeah.
Scooter's like, oh, yeah, no problem. Couple phone calls later and they do the remix. And I think we did talk about this part that Louis Fonsi wanted it to be English because he thought that it would like blow up and cross over a mm-hmm. lot more. And Scooter was like, no, we're keeping the Spanish version of it. And they did. And it's still a massive, massive song.
I think that like speaks to Scooter's like foresight, though, because we were like on the verge. Like, we were all in America, like ready for that crossover of like Latin music, Spanish music. It had not really happened yet. Like, there weren't songs on mainstream radio here in Spanish. It didn't happen, but like, he was able to see like this could work, and like maybe like the tides are changing enough where like people will accept this. Like, you have to have a certain level of like understanding of like the music scape and just generally what people are listening to and wanting.
Yeah, he has like the best pulse on culture.
Yeah, totally. Justin hopped on the remix, and that was his first time singing Spanish on a song that was released. And the remix sent the song to, because the song had been out for like you were saying, before they released the remix, it was at a club. So clearly it had been out
right.
for a while. And the remix sent the song to the Billboard Hot 100, and it was the first Spanish song that had been there since the Macarena.
That, which is insane, because I would have guessed too that Gasolina was up there.
Oh yeah,
because that was big, but I guess not that big.
Maybe it was like an underground hit, and we just were like, you know, on the trend. Yeah. So then after that, sometime between Despacito and Changes, is when Justin and Haley got married. So,
but this was also the time he was going back and forth, dating Selena, dating Haley, and then dating Selena. And also, I think he had publicly said that he was celibate now.
Oh,
as well. So it was just like he was doing like weird erratic stuff. I think he like growing his hair out, and it like didn't look good because we're used to stylized Bieber. And he was just letting himself go, like just being funky and quirky.
Being funky.
Yeah.
You made me think of something too that we haven't really touched on. And that's how much his faith has like been a big part of his life and like his public persona. Like, he is a Christian, like a very devout Christian. And even despite like his tough like periods of time, like that's always been important to him. And he's always talked about like his relationship with God and like prayer and all these things throughout his career. And I think during this time when he was like getting funky, as you say, he really was like, especially if he was saying like, I'm going celibate, blah, blah, blah. I think that was like him very deeply diving back into his faith.
Well, and he went and lived with, remind me of the controversial.
Oh, Carl Lentz from Hillsong Church.
So he lived with him, I think, for a while.
Carl Lentz from Hillsong Church in New York.
Yes.
Or LA.
I think, so he had a place in New York. I think that's where he got caught cheating. But remember, Bieber was in New York as well, because Haley was in New York.
Okay.
And at some point, I don't know if there's an LA house or whatever, but like Bieber was living with him, or Carl was living, like, they would like hang out and like sleep at each other's homes.
They became really good friends, but Justin started going to Hillsong with Selena. They were like super involved when they were together.
Right. So it was around this period where like Justin is very publicly religious.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just remember paparazzi following them around. And then we see Bieber come out of a courthouse with Haley, and everyone's like, he's married. Like,
and what's so insane too is right before that happened, I mean, like months. First of all, he had stopped dating Selena like 4 months before this, like between 4 and 6 months before this. A couple months before this, Hailey shows up to the Met Gala with Shawn Mendes.
Right.
And everyone's like, what?
Yeah. Well, and then they thought that those two were dating. And I think Hailey made a joke or Shawn made a joke about it. Like, ha ha. Because I think according to Shawn Mendes' documentary, he was low-key dating Camila.
Camila, yeah.
So there was that. And then I guess Hailey was low-key dating Bieber, talking to Bieber, whatever.
Yeah. And they had like, it was a super quick, like they went from like suddenly dating quickly after a different relationship and then suddenly married so fast. But they had known each other for like a decade at that point.
Well, there's a great photo of Hailey going to a Bieber meet and greet, which is how they met. Which
they talk about in the Season's YouTube documentary. And it's really funny because Hailey was like, I was so nervous. I was like, no, she said she didn't care. Her dad brought her to a meet and greet. She didn't really care. Justin assumed that she was obsessed with him because everyone was obsessed with him. Right. And she literally was just like, oh, hey. And there's a picture from that. And it's very funny.
It is super funny. But anyway, so I guess that's how it all went down. And according to reports, they got married so quickly because they were like waiting. So it was like going to that chapel so they can bang it out.
Totally.
And then they had like their official wedding, I guess, in South Carolina. However,
yeah, long, and it was like
a year later.
It was in secret, and there was like some talk started coming out that they had like gotten married in secret, and apparently Hailey now Bieber, tweeted like, "No, we're not married yet," and then like quickly deleted it. And so either they hadn't been married yet, or they quit like shortly got married after that. And it happened right along the same time when Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson got married, which was a super quick.
I forgot about that.
I know. And they had been dating for a super short amount of time. So it was like all these relationships with like young, cute people that everyone loves that like they've been dating for 3 months and they got married. And it like three of them happened at one time.
Business managers and lawyers were super busy making those prenups. Just being like, hey guys, we're going to prenup all of this.
Yeah. So their relationship was the inspiration for our next Justin Bieber era, which is Changes. And that's when the Season's YouTube documentary came out to like hype up the album. But the first single that came out from Changes was Yummy, released January 2020. Woof.
So good. Also, this record had the best Pitchfork review of all time. It was like, we get it. Justin Bieber F's.
Yeah, and like he loves his wife. Like, we get it.
But what do you think of this record? Because I personally think, and I think he said it, it's the most R&B leaning record that he's done thus far.
Yeah. I mean, I think that both Journal, I mean, all of his work is like R&B, like tinted, but, and I think like it progressively got more and more R&B, like Journals was more, and then Purpose was more. And then definitely like Changes, I think is like, I think that's what he always wanted to make, but probably the people around him were like, these aren't like poppy enough for radio. So I think it's definitely like super, super R&B, and I loved it. And we talked about this on our like 2020 year end episode, because you named this one of your favorite albums of that year.
Yeah. I truly loved it. And like, I didn't love it in a sense of like Purpose, I thought was just bops and earworms. This I thought was unique sounds, not necessarily like deep lyrics or anything like that, but it was just something new and different. And I loved like the merch, like the Drew House stuff that came out with it. I just thought the whole album as like a package as well was just fire.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, thinking back to Purpose, like, mark my words, the runs and like the like music in that, like, there are lots of songs on Purpose that are pure R&B. But I feel like that's why I liked Changes so much, is because I loved Purpose, and that is like, that's the Justin that I want. Like, the pop stuff is fun, but it's like, because in between this period too, I didn't really write this down and didn't really think this was necessary to talk about as like an era, but like, he did the songs with like DJ Snake, Let Me Love You, and hopped on a DJ Khaled song, and a lot of different like random one-off features on other people's songs. And I do think those were a lot more poppy. But, like, this is the R&B that we wanted. They were slow jams. The runs and the vocals were iconic. And, like, they were so good because, as we saw on the season's YouTube documentary, he pretty much went into the studio and basically was like, I just want... He told Allison, okay, his manager, like, I want you to... like schedule time for me to be in the studio, to be working out, to be doing vocal training, blah, blah, blah. Like I want to go in full work mode, which he hadn't done in a while. And so he pretty much, as we saw in this documentary, like went into the studio every single day, like sun up to sundown, and just cranked out a bunch of songs, a lot with Pooh Bear, who we now know and love. And he would, there was like one clip I was actually like rewatching last night, where he was recording a song, he sang the same line 27 times in a row until it was perfect. But that's why, like, I really don't think that, like, his vocal was, like, totally, like, Frankenstein vocaled on this album to sound that good. Like, I think he just did it over and over again until it was perfect. And, like, that's right. Why it sounds so flawless. Like, it's not, like, engineered. It just sounds like that because he worked hard. Some people are like, if you're the best vocalist, you nail it on the first one. But some people, that's just, you know, not the case. What I liked about that docuseries was like, I liked seeing the production side of it because I don't think Justin Bieber is like a star lyricist. That's never been what people are going to Justin Bieber for.
No.
But he has an incredible voice. He can play lots of instruments. He can play guitar. He can play drums. He can, you know, whatever. And he like has a good ear for like what songs are good. And so I think what happened a lot in this record is like Pooh Bear and the other producers would like come in with these tracks, come in with these ideas, and they would just like collaborate and like crank them out. And then they ended up just picking the best out of like however many they had, which was like a ton of songs.
Well, and they do like the leaderboard, like yeah. They would knock them down, which is kind of cool to see like, that process too. Because everyone has like a different process for cutting. But I think he also would cut all of these other songs to see which ones he liked more.
Yeah.
So he wasn't just doing it for the ones he picked for the record.
And like, I think this one is so good because clearly he had Haley, like Haley would come into the studio like all day and just like sit there and like be emotional support or whatever. Like, that's why I think this is so good, because he was in such a good mental, like, headspace and had support, even as, like, eye-rolly as it may be. You're like, okay, separate for 5 minutes. You're okay. But, like, he legit felt supported and, like, she knew how he needed her there. And, like, they have a good partnership to where, like, he felt in a healthy space to create this record and be happy and, like, come at it from a good space.
Right. And I don't know. I think he was given probably more of a sense of freedom on this record than he was on any of the previous records to really just make the album that he wanted. Because at this point, there's nothing else really to prove.
Yeah. And so in the season's YouTube series as well, they, like I said, they talked about the cancellation of the Purpose Tour and how that had to do with, you know, drug issues. He talked about how his team was like going to check on him in the mornings to see if he was breathing. Like they were so worried.
Security guard. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was also interesting to hear about like all of Justin's experience from Haley's point of view, because Haley's a pretty private and quiet person up until now. Now she has like a YouTube series and she's a little more comfortable being like out in the open. But up until this series really was quiet. She didn't post a lot of like personal stuff on social media. Like, she comes from a huge entertainment family, so I'm sure, like, it's just not even appealing to her at all to, like, put everything out there.
Right.
So I don't even think I'd really heard her speak until this documentary.
I don't think I had either. I mean, and she does her modeling thing, but that's, like, as public as she gets.
Yeah. Also, like, side note, she's literally the most beautiful human being.
Oh, yeah.
It's so annoying.
It's annoying because she can, like, throw on, like, terrible clothes and it still looks, like, amazing.
No, she'll put on baggy sweatpants, a like ribbed tank top, a huge sweatshirt, and like a mismatching bag and a bucket hat, and walk outside and look like the supermodel she is. If I wore that, people would be like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Is everything okay? Like, did you like have a house fire? Did you lose everything you own? Or
same.
Why are you wearing this?
Same.
It's just annoying, but that's neither here nor there. And so he talked about like overcoming his drug addiction. He talked about how he was diagnosed with Lyme disease, which he claimed there were a lot of like YouTube videos of like him in interviews where it looked like he was like tweaking out and everyone assumed he was on drugs, which he was, but that's not why those things were happening. According to him, he was saying that he was having symptoms from this Lyme disease.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which he talked about in that docuseries, which I thought was interesting. It could explain some like weird behaviors for sure.
Yeah. And it really like that series, I think, opened up, at least on my side, how much anxiety he has as a human being.
Yeah.
Like you hear about it, but it's one thing to like hear it and read it in interviews, but then see it on the TV and you're like, oh, wow. Like he does have like a lot of kind of issues, especially in the studio, like high anxiety.
Yeah. Which like, how do you not
right
in that situation? But yeah, it was interesting to see. And it was kind of like, it humanized him a lot more to like, just be honest about that stuff. And like a lot of people deal with that. And so it was like, I think because he had this air of like kind of arrogance for a while, people didn't really see him as someone that like needed help. He just was like too cool for school. And he's like, no, I actually was like struggling really hard and probably overcompensating in a lot of ways.
Right, right. It gave him a sense of like, one, humanity, but also two, almost like humility.
Yeah, for sure. So Changes also came out in like the boom of TikTok. And these songs were huge on TikTok. There was a TikTok dance for Come Around Me, a dance for Intentions, a dance for Yummy. Like there were so many moments.
And he leaned into it hardcore by doing dances in his house.
Yes, which I loved.
So, I mean, of course he did. But, you know, doing his little like boy band dances.
Yeah. Now I can't listen to Come Around Me without like doing the dance in my mind.
Oh yeah.
I'm not. Of course. Well.
Of course.
But this album I really, really do love. Like I feel like it gets crapped on because Yummy is such a silly song. Like there's just no depth to it, but it's a bop. And like there are depth to some of the other songs. And ETA is the R&B song of my dreams.
Oh yeah. I love that song. Also on a major side note, not happy with COVID. I got tickets as a birthday present.
Yeah.
And then that got canceled. And I was really excited about seeing this album live. I've actually never seen Justin Bieber.
I haven't either.
I was really, really excited. And our mutual friend, Dolly, who is our Franklin resident mom, was also going to go. I think with her other Franklin moms. Because the Franklin moms are believers.
Yeah, of course. Because their kids are. But they're like, oh, wait, this is actually a bop, though.
Right. They're
or they're like
to
checking
go.
Out TikTok to like make sure their kids are okay. But then they're like, wait, I'm going to learn this dance real quick.
Right. They download the app.
So pretty quick after Changes. So Changes came out Valentine's Day of last year, literally right before COVID shut everything down. So Changes became his 7th number one album. Just cranking out the hits. Like he literally, there's no album he can release that's not going to do well. It's the same as Taylor. It's like when you have fans,
of course,
the way
you're gonna,
do.
Yeah, you're going to crush.
So in September of 2020 is when we got Holy with Chance the Rapper, followed by Lonely with Benny Blanco out in October, and then Justice. Or no, sorry. Then Anyone was released in January of 2021, and then we just got Justice that dropped this March.
Hang on. We also got the Stuck With You COVID single well with Ariana Grande.
Right. Of course. Everyone had to release a COVID song.
Right.
But so then this record, I feel like has kind of been a little bit of like a resurgence for Justin because I feel like people kind of hate it because people hated on Changes so much. Like this is kind of the one where people are like, he's back. This music is like good again.
Which is so funny because for me, I hated Not hated, but I did not love this record.
What's wrong with you?
It was the weird fake wokeness stuff. Like when
no, that part's weird for sure.
And I just didn't love the songs as much as I loved the ones on Changes. Like, and I thought the album artwork was weird. I just wasn't into it. I know we discussed this, but
interludes and album artwork does not an album make. You are missing out on fantastic songs. You have to give it a chance.
I like Peaches.
Yeah, we're all over Peaches now. You got to move on to
the
rest
still
of
on
songs.
Peaches because that's the only one I love.
Girl, I'm telling you, this album is so good.
What's your, like, what song on here do you think, like, trumps all the other songs on, like, Changes?
No, I mean, it's Peaches for sure, but, like, there's really not one that trumps them because I really love them all so much. And it's also hard because, like, I probably, if I hadn't heard Holy so much for the last, like, however many months, and Anyone, and Lonely, like, if I hadn't heard those so much, I could say those, but those are, like, because they were the singles, a little burnt out for me. Honestly, the rest of, I love the rest of them on an equal play, like, playing field, except for maybe Peaches a little bit more.
Yeah.
But now that's kind of, like, on the same scope as the singles, where, like, I've burnt it out. Yeah,
I know. I just, I need to give it another whirl, and I know, I feel like you we're having a deja vu conversation. I just love Believe and Changes and Purpose so much.
Yeah, but you can love those and also love another album that's good.
Also, and what is he doing in this tunnel, though, Lauren? Come on.
You are, like, so hung up on this album artwork. It's not good, but none of his album artwork is good. None of them.
I like Changes. I feel like it's weird.
It's bad. This was his 8th album to go to number 1.
Of course it was.
And some of the co-writers on this album are, like, a lot of people that we love, which I think is partially what is attributed to, like, how good this is. John Bellion, Ali Tamposi, Khalid, Chance the Rapper, Dominic Fike, Ryan Tedder, Phineas, Jaden Smith, Cody Simpson, Tori Kelly. Like, you can't go wrong with those people.
I know. But, like, part of it, I feel like, is a product of, oh, do you want a song with Justin Bieber? Of course you want a song with Justin Bieber. Hang on. Yeah. I also have another question. Was this the album, or was it Changes, that he got in trouble for being like, you should set this up on your computer and stream it all night long? And they were
That might have been Changes.
Yeah, you can't say that to, like, push your record. You can't tell your fans to just, like, put it on repeat, dude.
Are there, like, specific rules about that?
No, but they were just saying, like, it's just not a good look to be like, oh, to game streaming, like, publicly, to say that to your fans.
Whatever. And also, like, he doesn't have to do that. His songs are going to perform well, but.
Right.
Yeah, this album is, like, still rocking. I'm interested to see if we get another single from it, and if so, what it would be.
I feel like the evolution of Justin Bieber's hair could be a full episode for us.
100%. We need to speak about what it looks like right now.
We're back to the swoop.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Have you seen his hair in the past couple weeks?
Oh, it's this dread, like, pointy. Is it technically dreads?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's atrocious. Like, it is cultural appropriation. Like, it needs to end. It's so bad.
Well, yeah, it's as bad as Justice, his record.
You secretly bop this in your room. I know you do. I can see it in your eyes. You're such a hater.
You can't, because my eyes are sealed shut with allergies.
Well, that is true. But this, yeah. I'm interested to see if there's another single from this. If it is, I bet it's going to be either the Khalid song or the Dominic Fike song.
Question for you. Is that his real hair?
Yeah.
So he did the whole dread thing, like, by not washing it and then twirling it.
Yeah. It's horrible. It is so bad. And I'm do what makes you happy. I support you. I do not support this. I'm sorry. I just simply
you draw
cannot.
The line.
This is where I draw the line. Absolutely.
It's also in pigtails too. Or it was in one point.
He's like, having a moment. Like, he's really going through something right now. Really, the last chapter in this evolution so far is Freedom, which is an EP he also released this year with gospel songs. So they're kind of like trendy gospel songs, though, which I think is really cool. It's kind of like the Kanye West moment. What was his album? King? What was the gospel album?
I'm forgetting the name of it. I know what you're talking about, but
Jesus is King.
Yes, yeah.
It is kind of his Jesus is King moment, where it's like these gospel songs that are, like, rooted in faith, but they're, like, cool, and they also feature, like, Pink Sweats and Tori Kelly. But it's pretty good. I will say, Justine is showing me a photo of these dreadlocks, you guys. I am not okay.
I feel like we're having Justin Bieber's Justin Timberlake moment with the hair.
Yeah, except at least Justin Timberlake's was, like, trendy in that time. The ramen noodle hair. You know? This is not trendy right now. And it's not even about trendiness. It's about, this hair is not for you. It ain't for you. Why are we doing that? It's so upsetting. Sorry. At least he's right. wearing a mask. Like, man, sir, what is going on?
All right, I'm back. I'm sorry.
Okay, so really there's not much else to say about this gospel album. But really where we can kind of wrap this up is like the evolution of Justin Bieber is not over. He's still going to continue cranking out music for years to come, as far as I can tell.
And his hair will keep changing.
Totally. I do wonder, like, now he's had his pop moments, he's had his R&B moments, he's had his like gospel moment. What's next?
His country moment.
I could see him doing a country song. He did have the song with Dan and Shay, 10,000 Hours.
And he did the Yummy remix with Florida Georgia Line.
Oh, yeah.
Girl, I'ma lick it up.
Oh, God. Bless it. I could see him doing a country song. Maybe not a country album. But that could be good. That could be good for him.
Hey, I'm about it. He could do a Post Malone country, like, remix collab thing. Because Posty did the country song.
Well, it was a Hootie and the Blowfish song. Is that what you're talking about?
The one he did for the Matthew McConaughey, like, tribute. No, he did like a full-on country song.
Interesting.
Not Biebs, Post Malone. Yeah.
Got it. Clarifying there. I was wondering if you were referencing the fact that Post Malone did I Only Want to Be With You by Hootie and the Blowfish for the Pikachu soundtrack, which is... No, sounds like a Mad Lib, but a real thing that happened.
It's fire. Love that version of the song. But no, he did like an actual country song as well. Who knew?
Who freaking knew?
I'm ready for the Biebs country album.
All right. We're going to manifest that. I love that for us.
He's going to do the reverse Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Well, now there's like a hole in the market, you know, because Taylor's pop now.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. I love that. Okay, so I have a question for you, and maybe this is tough, and maybe I already know your answer, but what's your favorite Bieber album overall? Like, if you had to pick one that you could only listen to, and Purpose. You couldn't listen to the rest.
Purpose. No Same. Doubt. Purpose.
Me too.
You?
Yeah.
Wow. Same. Is that the pinnacle? Is that our continuum for Bieber, and there's no, like... Never gonna reach that ever again.
That's how I feel. And I feel the same way about Continuum, where like it's also because of the memories I have from that time when like those songs were so beyond incredible for me. And it was like such a no skip album. And it was also like our whole friend group at that time was so obsessed. Like we went on a lake trip with several of our friends. And I remember sitting out by the lake and just like everyone was like jamming to this album. And it's like those memories just you can't fabricate those. Like,
yeah,
those are just authentic things that make you love music that you can't
and mark a period in your life. And it takes you back every single time in a very nostalgic way.
I also have a funny anecdote about Love Yourself from Purpose, because I used to be in a duo and I had this show that we had the show that we were supposed to play. And last minute, my musical partner had to fly home for a family emergency and you were at this show, I had to play by myself. And I was freaking out. I was not used to playing by myself. I literally had one day to prepare. The whole show, I'm so nervous that like I could throw up at any moment and I can like hear my voice like audibly shaking. Like I'm literally so nervous at the show. And I decided to play Love Yourself, like an acoustic, like stripped down version of this. And at most of this show, it was like a showcase. So there were some of our friends that were there, like a group of friends, my Aunt Debbie, and like some of Aunt the bands, some of the bands that were waiting to play next. Other than that, it was just like a couple random bar patrons.
Right.
Right as I start to sing Love Yourself, which is very quiet, stripped back, like simple guitar moment, this old man at the bar starts counting quarters and is just flipping coins on the bar that are just like echoing through the whole bar. Like it's just like coins jingling that I literally couldn't focus the whole time. And our friend Taryn was there and she literally almost beat this man up. Like she was like, sir, now is not the time. But that's what I think about every time I hear that song now.
I'm very curious to see if he has a child with Haley. Oh, yeah.
Like, you know they're gonna. They're ready to pop out babies anytime now.
Justin Bieber as a dad. And will his music change?
Oh.
Likely so. I can't wait to see. And
here. Me too. We love the Biebs here at the Music Buzz. We hope you enjoyed this evolution of... He's had an interesting journey. So it's one that we could talk about for hours. Oh, so true. So true. Okay, well, that's all we have for you today. Thank you for listening. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast... Please make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to this. Leave us a nice review if you liked it. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at musicbuzzpod. Or you can email us at themusicbuzzpodcast@gmail.com with any questions or suggestions.
And if you really love us, drop us a comment. We love to see what you're thinking and feeling.
On our Instagram.
Yeah, photo. Of course.
Yeah, love that. Okay, we love you guys and we will catch you next time.
Stay buzzed.